Welcome back to the Dawes Gang Podcast. This is our second episode in as many weeks, something I have not done for a fairly long time. You could call this part two of a Mile City guy and a MSU Bobcat talking on a podcast. And this episode of the Dawes Gang Podcast is not brought to you by the good folks at the Mile City City Hall HR Department. Right now, we have a young man on here. We go back long before he was well known in the state of Montana, even before that, with a very unique connection, which I'll get to here in just a little bit. We welcome Royce Robinson to the show. Royce, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, that time it worked. Fingers crossed for the rest of the episode, but what we were talking about before this unexpectedly shut down on us the first time. Now, as I understand, this is not your first rodeo with, going on certain radio shows, podcasts, and whatnot. Whatever way, shape, or form that is. One of which, in particular, like ESPN Radio, that's a pretty huge deal, isn't it? Like, not only that, but like the recognition you got from those.
I'm not a great public speaker, but I've had a little bit of experience doing little talk shows and such, but I think you're much more experienced than I am.
If you say so. You kind of like talk about your experience on those talk shows. I don't think it was only you on those radio shows, was it? It was like your coach, Fisher, probably made an appearance on there as well.
Most of the extent of what I've done has just been after game interviews, and normally I'm not too focused on them. I'm just focused on celebrating with my teammates and celebrating a victory.
Absolutely. That means far more important, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think I've made some of the interview people mad because they try and ask me questions and I don't give them much to work with. They've made some comments about it, but that's fine with me.
Yeah, it's a totally understandable reason. You won't find me being that type of radio host someday, will you? To start off, we go back long before Royce Robinson became Royce Robinson. As a matter of fact, there's a connection there that I kind of brought up in the introduction. In Mile City, I kind of knew your brother actually before I ever even knew you. So, kind of talk about that a little bit, like that connection there.
Yeah, I think you knew my brother. Obviously, he ran cross country. He's a pretty good runner.
Yeah, all-state runner, first ever year doing it. You don't see that very often.
No, and then you knew my uncle pretty well. My uncle works at the gym in Mile City, so you've known him for years, and that's kind of how I met you. It was just one day shooting around at the Mile City gym at the center of the college.
Yep.
And you were hanging around, and you were telling me and my family of some sports facts you knew, and we thought it was pretty interesting. You knew Jalen, my brother's time, from the previous state cross-country meet.
Yeah, to be fair, they are on athletic.net, so you could say those are kind of available to everyone.
Yeah, so we heard you talking about that, and then just over the years, me playing sports and whatnot, hanging out in Mile City, I've seen you around.
Yeah, and so obviously, your mom is, Mike's sister, obviously. Yeah. And as I understand, she kind of had a fine career at MSUB.
Yeah, I think she went there played 2 years there. She walked on.
Yeah, and then what?
I'm not really exactly sure. She hasn't told me exactly why she stopped playing, but then she got a nursing degree and then got married to my dad and had a family.
Absolutely. And was your dad a fairly decent athlete himself?
Yeah, my dad was a good basketball player in high school, and then he tore both his ACLs in college, so yeah. He never played.
Okay. Where are they from? Are they from Lewistown? Are they from somewhere else? Or?
Both my parents graduated from Fergus High School, and so did Mike, the guy who lives in Mount.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of injuries, Mike tells the story all the time of injuries he got. Obviously, I'm sure you've played a lot of basketball at like the Fergus Civic Center. And mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we can, maybe if you could refresh your memory a little bit, So Mike ever told you the story about like back, you know, back in his day, he was going up to dunk a ball and he kind of got tangled up with another player and, you know, kind of that whole deal. Like he did what every track coach tells you not to do during basketball, during track season. That's go play pickup games of basketball.
I think he was a pretty good sprinter.
Yeah, he was. He was like 10.9, 10.8.
Yeah, so I didn't even know that until a few years ago, and I was pretty impressed. And then, yeah, he broke his ankle, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he broke his ankle and didn't finish out the year.
And on a more somber note, he did say, like, the guy whose foot he stepped on died in a tragic avalanche accident here a few years ago.
Do you remember his name?
Yeah, I actually do, believe it or not. It was a quarterback. His quarterback on the football team named Chris Spurgeon.
Yeah, that's how I remember.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring his name up until you asked, but it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, so would you say your parents were kind of that basketball influence on you growing up?
I think definitely we're kind of a basketball family, whatever that means, and they're the ones who taught me how to play, and they coached my travel teams when I was younger and brought me to the gym and helped me out, and a lot of thanks goes to them.
Yeah, now we talk about these travel teams, you know, younger kids can play with older kids. You know, that's fairly common. Was Fisher on your travel team back in the day?
No, Fisher.
He played on the younger team, most likely.
Yes, and he moved to Lewistown in the seventh grade.
Okay.
So by the time we were in seventh and eighth grade, we never played together.
Okay. Did you live in Great Falls before then?
No, I think he lived in Manhattan and then Fort Benton.
Manhattan, then Fort Benton, where he was like...
Maybe other way around, Fort Benton, then Manhattan.
Where he was, I believe, third in the Elks hoop shoot back in the day when he was like 8, 9 years old.
Yep.
Kind of making national headlines. Mm-hmm. That's when he was getting all the TV love.
Yeah, he was. He's the real experienced guy when it comes to talk shows.
And you know, we'll get to kind of where he could play college here later in the show, but... So, it's kind of weird you could say how we kind of ended up here. You know, I obviously came to Bozeman for, like, reasons that we talked about prior to coming on here. And obviously, for you, like, God kind of worked out in mysterious ways, I guess. So, just kind of talk about, you know, kind of the recruiting process. You know, obviously, obviously decommitted from Carroll, you know, and in between that and your commitment to Montana State here, we kind of talked about like where you could, not necessarily where you would end up, but where you could end up. And obviously that obviously came in a few days later, but now we'll start with the whole Carroll deal. Obviously, you know, it's but all too common, the catalyst for, you know, players transferring, and that's the coach leaving, which admittedly as a runner, that's a move I should have made kind of early on when I went to Doss Community College to run. But now, were there any factors besides Kurt Paulson that like kind of led you to Carroll like the first time, obviously before this whole thing all went down?
Yeah, we could go back before when my recruiting process first started, and my idea was that I would never go out of Montana unless it was for a D1.
Okay.
Obviously, that never happened. I never got any offers. And then Montana State or the Grizz, they never offered me either. So really, my decision came down between some frontier schools in Montana. And I just, the relationship I had with Coach Paulson was great. And then I loved Carroll, the school and the town and all the teammates. And then once he left, I kind of was kind of made me realize I don't want to settle for a level I know I can play at when I want to challenge myself at the D1 level.
And kind of, yeah, obviously it's a fairly new environment. A few of the same players, but a whole different coaching staff. So do you call them first or they call you?
I reached out to them from a connection I had from one of their previous players that played for Coach Logie.
Okay. Oh, at the previous school he was at.
Yeah, at Point Loma.
But, yeah, so how are you liking the team so far?
I like it a lot. I think the coaching staff is going to be great, and I think all the guys are going to come together well, and we're going to put together a good season.
Yeah, made a lot of friends so far.
Yeah, I have on the basketball team as well as a lot of the football guys are staying in my dorm right now, so I get along with them pretty good.
Yeah. Obviously, coming into summer workouts, obviously, it's way too early to tell. But especially with a brand new coaching staff and probably more than half of the team's new faces, including yourself, but there's a few of the same players. So obviously there could be some questions, especially coming off two Big Sky championships. So how could you guys be looking this year with kind of a new look team?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot different than last year, and it's going to take a lot of work from the coaching staff and from the guys on the team to come together. But I think we're going to be pretty solid. There's a bunch of great players on the team. The coaches are doing a really great job, and I'm pretty excited to see how we do.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, you have like a, whether it's whatever sport it is, it's almost like you have a high school team where they're very senior laden and they just graduate all those seniors off a very good team. Now, you could say it's a more difficult thing, especially with the first year coach. We can translate this a little bit to the college level, considering it's a whole new staff and the transfer portal's a thing. You might have had a couple guys transfer in. And so you could definitely say that's kind of the equivalent, kind
Yeah,
of.
it's pretty similar to that.
Yeah.
You could say it's a whole new team. It's like a big graduating class, but the difference is
A transfer portal, isn't it?
the coaches get to recruit who they want. So I think they did a great job of that, getting all the players that will fit in their new system, and that should work pretty well.
Yeah. And you're playing right away, correct?
Well, I don't
Or.
know what's going to happen yet. We'll see. I've only been here for 2 weeks, so it's kind
Okay.
of up in the air.
Yeah, because different schools are it's far too common. I mean, Dickinson State football, for example, where I go to school, they'll redshirt every freshman that comes in the program. Doesn't matter how good you are coming into that Dickinson State football program. Other sports at various levels might be a little different, but it's kind of how it works over there. So,
Yeah, it's gonna kind of be decided here probably closer to the season, but I really have no clue what's gonna happen. The coaches don't know me really well. They've only seen me play for the last 2 weeks. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, now, so obviously I brought up this we brought up a couple of guys earlier. Obviously you got your commitment here, and then of course teammates and friends of yours, kind of, MTN Sports kind of did a piece on Fisher Brown. Where could he end up? I mean, he'd be able to answer that question better than either of us, kind of offers that he has. But sounds like he obviously really wants to shoot for this level as well.
Yeah, I think he's definitely capable of doing it, and that's going to be up to him and up to what his options are. But I think wherever he goes, he's going to be super successful. Just the way he can score the ball and the way he knows how to play basketball is kind of ridiculous, and I was very lucky to have him on my team.
And obviously other players. Now, a couple days before the 4th of July, I went, it was in Four Corners. I went and bought some fireworks from Caleb Belich's fireworks stand. Obviously he MSU for 2 years before becoming the all-American type player he is at Tech. He and I were actually talking about this, and he's like, yeah, we're trying to get Fisher to come to Tech. And now, obviously I'm sure, you have guys at the NAIA level like Dougie Peoples who had that option, but now he's going to College of Idaho, as did Alex Germer. He was one of those MSU transfers that went over to College of Idaho. Now these two teams, man, with as much returning talent and transfers and commitments as they have, it could be from an outsider's perspective, it could really be murderer's row with those guys in it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely those.
But between those two teams, you could look for those two teams to be in the Final Four this year, obviously, even though it's too early to tell.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a great. I mean, nothing against those guys, but obviously, I wanted to challenge myself at a higher level. But
Oh,
then
yeah.
you see how that plays out for a few guys. They transfer down, and it works out great. So, I mean, the doors like that are never closed.
Oh, yeah. And Now, back as it pertains to Dougie, so obviously Gatorade Player of the Year, you know, first non-Class A player to win it since the current head basketball coach at Dickinson State and Derek Selvig. Yeah, do you guys still happen to talk about that shot he hit in last year's state championship?
Yeah, every once in a while it'll come up and pandemonium ensues as you see it again. Dougie Peoples with 37 points in the title game, including the biggest.
He's a fairly humble kid though. Yeah, I've talked to him. I've talked to his family before, but. So you guys were on different teams, as I recall correctly, in the senior classic.
Yeah, we were. We never played each other.
Oh, like, and that's weird considering like Class A and Class A.
Yeah.
But you guys were definitely teammates in the Pyline Classic. The shirt you happen to have on right now.
That's right. I'm wearing that shirt, and we won back to back championships.
Oh yeah, and. How did it feel kind of knowing, like, for the first time you guys are going to team up in a basketball game, not only then, but in the Montana-Wyoming series as well?
Yeah, it's pretty great because you don't have to deal with this crap that he always does when he's playing against you. And that's really a pain in the butt to go against. And
it's always – yeah, there's always that player that, like, you hate guarding that, like, he's a big part of their game plan. You got a game plan around him.
Yeah,
like,
exactly, and it's really nice when you don't have to go against that and when that's being taken out against the other team.
Yeah. However, before I get into this, will this past year's state championship have been, would it have been a little more sweeter? Now, obviously, there's no such thing as a non-sweet state championship, but would a win against Butte Central instead of Dillon have made it a little bit sweeter from that perspective?
It might have. It definitely would have, actually.
Yeah, from a fan's perspective, absolutely.
But I'll take whatever I can get. Yeah, but I realize that we're really fortunate.
We lucked out to be able to do this, and
the good thing is
everybody's dreamed of win a state championship, not only basketball but football, and we got it done.
And, that was a great feeling.
Oh yeah! Now, obviously, you know, two sports star, Fergus County High School. Yeah, did you play anything else? Like prior to your senior year, did you play anything else besides basketball?
I did cross country for a year, and I did swim team and soccer.
As a freshman? Did you cross as a freshman?
Cross country as a sophomore.
And sophomore, okay.
Like, I got tendonitis in my knee, so I didn't go to divisional or state.
Okay. Were you in the top seven before then?
Yeah, I was on varsity. I was sixth.
Yeah. And Flenty was the coach. Still, she might have retired. I don't know. But she might have come back into it.
She came back.
Yeah. But yeah, what was your best cross country time?
I don't remember that. I think it was in the 16s.
16s.
I think.
Heck yeah, that's big time stuff.
I don't know. Don't quote me on that. That might be a lie.
Yeah, like athletic.net could explain that a little bit, but you could say it's almost like you're almost on your brother's level if that's the case, isn't it?
I don't think I am. I think I was either a 17 or a very high 60. I'm not sure. I don't think I did get in the 16s. But I was definitely not on my brother's level.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel the same way. Like my brother and I ran cross, you know, he ended up with a better cross country time than I did. I had better track times than he did. So obviously now going into that senior year, what element was it obviously that kind of led you to go out for football? Now I had a coach on my podcast recently. He'd tell the story about a kid who didn't play football up until a senior year, scored two touchdowns to win a significantly big game. And obviously your impact on the football field went way far beyond that. So what was it that kind of led you, like, you're going to, like, saying, I'm going to go out for football this senior year, and I'm going to have no regrets in doing it?
Yeah, well, my whole high school career, I kind of regretted not going out for football. I just never did because there was not a big reason to, because we were never very good.
At least, when Carson Hunter shredded the Eagles for 8 touchdown passes.
I remember that. I was at that game. But that probably was one of the reasons I didn't go out. But going into my senior year, it was going to be our new head coach's second year. And the year before, my junior year, they were really good. They made it to the semis. And me and one of my buddies who played in the Shrine game, he also went out for the first year, his senior year.
Who was it?
Travis McAlpin. He played right guard.
Oh, he started?
Yeah, he started. He played left guard in the Shrine game, too.
Well, that's awesome. Two guys, first year out for football, senior year, and make the Shrine game.
Yeah, I think it was just we didn't want to miss out on being on a great team with a bunch of great guys. And then also another factor was Dylan Morris, one of the seniors during junior year.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, he died in a car crash. And but, to be involved with kind of the bonding that took place after that, we couldn't miss out on a senior season.
Yeah, he'd definitely be proud of all the school's accomplished in that transpired time, wouldn't he?
He definitely would be.
Yeah. Going undefeated in football and basketball, obviously, I'm sure it's something you as well as the whole school kind of really took all in, as like not many schools ever in any classification can really say that. But, this would be a more appropriate time to call Lewistown Title Town, because after the state championship in basketball, I was talking to Lewistown fans, they're saying, I believe this has to be the first time we've ever won in football and basketball in the same year. I can confirm that to be false. I may have told you this before.
I think I know it before you. Yeah, before you told me.
Yeah, can I?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you have to talk about that. I'll leave it up to you on this.
You're talking about 2001, right?
Yeah, yeah. I am talking about 2001. Right. Yeah, they did it in a single day.
2001, the girls' basketball season used to be in the fall. And before they switched, I don't know what year they switched that to the winter.
Yeah, but 2002 is when they switched. Actually the last year.
So 2001, November, was it 17th or 19th?
17th.
It's November 17th, our football team won a state championship against Whitefish.
Yep, 12-9.
Yeah, and then our girls' basketball team won the state championship in Dillon. Who did they play?
Okay, no, it was in Hamilton they played Dillon.
Okay, that's right, yeah. So I was on the same day.
Damn. What a series of events. Katie Edwards, obviously, she's got to be far and away at this stage, like, the most accomplished boy or girl, maybe overall athlete to ever come out of Lewistown.
Uh-huh.
Second all-time leading scorer in Montana history behind Kayla Lambert. And she played 2 years at a Class A school, despite playing her first 2 years at Denton. So you could say it's fairly familiar, considering she's better, with Lewistown than she ever was for Denton.
Yeah. I've never got to watch her play, obviously, but I've heard tons about her, and from what I hear, she's kind of a freak athlete and a freak basketball player.
Oh, yeah. But that state title and Ron Miller's final season as coach didn't come particularly easy. Do you ever hear stories of that state title game, which eventually won in overtime? And I read this in an article from 2001, that title town. Like, they went state up in Whitefish. Hundreds of people, including most of the players, got in their cars, drove down to Hamilton to watch the title game.
Yeah.
With, 4 minutes left, Katie Edwards, I don't even know if she scored. She might have fouled out with, 10 points or something. But she'd carried the Eagles so many times over the course of her career, but fouls out with 4 minutes left in the game. Then it's almost like the rest of the team just takes over and steps up. Imagine that. And then they end up winning in overtime. The rest of the team just takes it to another level.
Yeah, I'm sure people thought nothing in Lewistown sports would ever top that day. But I guess you could say we matched it with this year, being undefeated in two sports. And the funny thing is, in 2004 and 2005, our girls also won state championship in basketball. And the head coach of that, his name is Troy Hudson.
Troy Hudson.
And he was our defensive coordinator this year in football.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He must have been here a while, hadn't he?
He has been. He's been at Fergus High School since the 90s.
Yeah, and another all-time great Eagle. Sonya Rogers also played for the Grizz, if I remember right. Yeah.
She was in 2004 and 2005.
Yeah.
And then Alira Carpenter played for MSUB. And she was one of the leading scorers there.
Yeah, on another note, do you know how many points you ended up scoring for the Eagles?
In total?
Yeah.
Right around 1,500, I think.
Yeah.
Which is the record, but it'll be broken soon by Fisher.
Yeah, how many does Fisher have going into his senior year?
He's got, I think, 1,200.
1,200? Ooh, that could be really close.
That pretty easily.
What if I told you, Jaden Graham was the first Eagle ever to score 1,000.
Yeah, I believe it, because, I mean, that could either be we didn't have a lot of great scorers, but I think it's also nobody used to play for 3 and 4 years like they do today.
Yeah, it's absolutely understandable, isn't it? Yeah. Now, obviously, you were going to take the basketball route through and through, and that, and obviously, you would never have that any other way, but were there any football coaches that reached out to you?
There was not. I don't think there was football coaches directly. I think they kind of asked around, and they kind of got the notion I was going to play basketball, and that's why they didn't recruit me. At least that's what I tell people. But yeah, I was going to play basketball pretty much no matter what.
Yeah, and now, with Fisher going into his senior year, obviously, he's gone to a lot of these, you know, camps, showcases and stuff, you know, like, and I think he has a connection with like Josh Eustis and stuff like that. Obviously, like with him and Max, I believe, being the only returning starter, can he lead the Eagles back-to-back next year? Again, too early to tell, but with him coming back, they still got to be among the contenders.
I think they'll have a great chance. It just they'll just have to learn to play together without some of the guys that left this year. And there was only those Max and Fisher are the only two starters, but Brody Jennis is our sixth man. He played a lot of minutes, especially late in games, and I think they'll have a great shot next year to go back-to-back.
Yeah, and it'll be in Butte this next year. Mm-hmm. So, we talk about, you know, the Cats and, you know, how you got, you know, that, how that all went down. Were the Grizz a team you ever thought about reaching out to, or did you ever actually reach out to them?
No, I didn't. I mean, I've always been a Cats fan, but the Bobcats did show interest in me before Sprinkle left, but they never offered me. So okay, really, like, that was my only connection. And then what really led me to coming here was the coaching change and then the new coaching staff looking for players.
Yeah, but even with Sprinkle leaving, all those players leaving, you got to say, even with this new staff, get kind of the culture that Sprinkle created and the legacy he left, it might create a little more of an incentive and a little more of motivation to kind of keep that tradition going that Sprinkle established in his 4 years here.
Yeah, there's definitely a bigger buzz about Bobcat basketball, and a few of the guys on the team have played for Sprinkle, and they kind of instilled that culture in us, and I don't think we want to be known as the guys that let that down, that reputation down.
Yeah, now, kind of all across college basketball, there's a lot of teams that the Cats play. You know, sometimes it can be in, you know, preseason tournaments, non-conference play. Are there any other teams that could, I mean, yeah, do you remember who the Cats beat in the Big Sky Championship this past year?
Northern Colorado.
Was it?
I'm not sure.
That might be right, but.
It was a close, they won by one point.
I didn't know it was that close, but I believe you.
I think that's right.
You know, what are some, you know, other teams that, you know, could be challengers it'll typically be a wide open, or at least more of a wide open Big Sky Conference.
Yeah, I don't.
Than there, I it was it, in the past.
I think it will be wide open. I think every game's going to be a contest, but I'm going to have to do some more research and figure out who's going to be tough and what the other teams are like.
Oh, yeah, and who knows? I don't know how to ask this next question, but I did an NCAA tournament edition of this podcast a few months ago with my cousin who knows a heck of a lot about college basketball. Do you know John Rothstein? He's on Twitter.
No,
I don't. Yeah, would you consider yourself to be a tenth of the college basketball analyst that a lot of these guys are?
No, I would call myself an average fan.
Okay.
But you can go ahead and ask me anyway. I might have an answer.
You know, you could say the same for myself in a lot of different sports. And, you know, the results are kind of showing, you know, with me in sports trivia and whatnot. But, you know, we talk college basketball across the board. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're playing a Pac-12 team or a Big Sky team. Obviously, well, it might lead me to my next point. Like, even, I mean, you've been with the Cats for 2 weeks. Are there any, like, changes you've seen? And Seth Sasek and I may have talked about a couple of these changes in the transition, like, a few days ago, like, from high school basketball, even with the shot clock, in years past it had no shot clock, mm-hmm. to Division I basketball. The shot clock's one thing, but obviously much more that goes into it. Have you, like, felt any of those changes, even in your first 2 weeks with the team?
Yeah, I mean, this moment you step on a floor with some college guys, it's immediately different, especially coming from Montana high school basketball, which isn't the highest level of high school basketball, obviously. But I think just the main difference is everybody's number one sport is basketball at the college level. And everybody's a great athlete. Everybody can shoot. Everybody can pass and dribble. And it's really fun to compete that way.
It's good knowing that, you know, and you might be able to answer this a little better once you actually get into a couple games. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I'll let you know then.
Absolutely, and I guess I've almost run out of questions here despite coming up with a damned good script that's right in front of me. Last question I could end on. Maybe it's the last question I will end on. You know, even when you were in high school, did you ever think that, you know, basketball would, you know, take you as far as it has, like, across this whole journey?
I mean, I haven't gotten a whole lot of places yet. I've been at the Cats for 2 weeks. I haven't played a minute yet.
But thus far up to this point.
But I think from the time I was a little kid, I thought basketball would be something I'd do for a long time in my life. And I'm really fortunate to be as good of a player as I am, even though I haven't played a single minute of college basketball yet.
Oh, and now, I guess on another note, a question I kind of swung and missed on. Did you happen to like have any like injuries like happen early on in your high school career? Like it might have been like freshman or sophomore year.
My sophomore year, I had a stress fracture in my left leg.
Oh, that's what happened.
And that kept me out for the second half of the regular season. And I was back for one game of the regular season and then the tournament. And then we made it to state and lost in two.
I thought you guys won at least one at state.
No, we lost to Polson. We should have won that game. We were up at 13 going into halftime, and then we blew our lead. And then we played Butte Central, actually, and we lost by two points. I fouled out.
And this is before Dougie Peoples became Dougie Peoples.
He was Dougie Peoples at that point because he was leading the state in scoring.
Oh, that year he did.
Yeah, but that kind of started a little bit of a rivalry spark. And then it obviously grew the next year.
And as I understand, you led, at the very least, the Eastern A in scoring as a freshman.
I led a freshman scoring, yes. But
Freshman across Class A.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I thought I heard something about that.
I think that might be true. I'm not sure. But, I don't think I ever led the state in regular season scoring. I did in the state tournament. This year.
Yeah, I actually just looked at that stat, you know, scrolling through old tweets and stuff today, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if I told you that back then, like, the Northeastern A, like, before you guys became as good as you were, like, the Northeastern A was kind of an afterthought in the basketball department.
Yeah, they definitely have gone down in recent years. But
in the last 2 years,
you'd have to tell me what historically how good have they been compared to other conferences.
Well, a stat I was gonna put out there for all the audience out there, this state title by the Eagles this past March was the first state title by any Northeastern A school since 1994 when Haver won it, when legendary coach Dustin Kraske played on that team.
Yeah.
And I may have told you that stat as well.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, you could say I'm known to tell people a bunch of different stats about this stuff.
You are. You're good at that. You should be proud of that. It's pretty impressive, actually.
You excited for the season to start, even though it's like several months away? You know, you kind of excited to, you know, get that adrenaline pumping and, you know, kind of set foot on the floor for the first time.
Yeah, I think it'll be exciting, and who knows if it'll be this year or next year or what, but I'm definitely excited for that.
Yeah, so what's your major at MSU?
Construction Engineering Technology.
Heck yeah, so might be going from the basketball courts to the construction field.
Yeah, onto the job site.
Yep. Yeah, did you take any woodshop classes in high school or anything
like
that?
Yeah, I did, and I worked for a contractor. Our girls' basketball coach at Fergus is actually a contractor.
Oh.
And I worked for him. He played for Carroll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, was it just during the summers you worked
during the summer
gig?
In part, kind of basically part-time with basketball and stuff.
And, you know, constructing a piece of a very good basketball teams and constructing houses. Man.
Yeah, that's right.
Man. This kid may have a new nickname. You call Carl Malone the mailman. This kid, we could probably call him the contractor. But ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the contractor, Royce Robinson, on this episode of the Dawes Gang Podcast, which is not brought to you by the good folks at the Mile City, City Hall HR Department. Royce, thanks for coming on the show, my friend, and we'll have to catch up after basketball season's over, all right?
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.